So all protocols observed. Amen. If you were not here in the first service, then I encourage you, you must buy the CD of the first service, because I'm just going to continue from where I left off in the first service. I will just do a brief recap and move on from there. But you will need to buy the message of the second service. It will bridge the gap or the vacuum that may be created as I continue where I left off. Pastor Shola prophetically has been speaking on birthing, telling you prophetically that this is the time of birthing. And I explained to you, according to timelines in the Hebraic calendar and the Gregorian calendar, that all the signs of the times are an indication prophetically that we are in the time of birthing. Touch three people and say, you're in the time of birthing. Now, understand that it's not about birthing your agenda or your personal desires or your prayers. It's about pushing through what the kingdom of heaven is trying to land here on earth. Are you listening to me? So to that intent and purpose, you become a womb or a birth canal to birth the purposes of God, not your agenda. God is not interested in your agenda. He's not interested in your promotion per se, or those idolatrous prayers that you have been praying for yourself. He's not interested in those self prayers. He's trying to birth his kingdom. The prayer that we should be praying and always be praying is, thy kingdom come. Come, kingdom. That's how we should be praying. And so Mary and Elizabeth had made themselves available to God. They had captured the essence of God. They had captured with foresight that there was about to be a move of God, that God was about to do a new thing as he is. Touch your neighbor and say, God is doing a new thing. He was about to do a new thing. They understood that God was moving. He was shifting. Touch something and say, things must shift. He was shifting from the old to the new. Birthing from out of the Old Testament a new covenant. He was moving and restoring and restoring. And there were waves of restorational truth, as Peter had even prophesied in Acts chapter 3 verse 17. That the heavens must withhold and restrain Christ unto the restitution of all things. Until all truth, everything has come back to its original intent and purpose. Are you with me? And so Mary and Elizabeth had understood that this was an earth moment. This was a season and a window that God had opened in the heavens, and God's eyes were running to and fro, seeking people who would make themselves available to him, that would lose their own agendas, give up their own agendas, in spite of whatever reproach, in spite of whatever affliction, in spite of whatever persecution, and would just capture the mind of God for the moment and birth the purpose of God on the earth. And so you understand that Mary birthed Jesus, and Elizabeth birthed the forerunner of Jesus. Jesus was the breaker, as described in Micah chapter 2 verse 13, but John was the forerunner of the breaker. So both of them birthed, in essence, things that formed together to make the completion of a move of God. They birthed a new move of God. They birth a move of the Spirit of God on the earth. Just two women changed the whole world by their prayer. Plus another two, Anna, the prophetess, and Simeon, because they interceded and allowed themselves to become wombs, to birth a whole change of season, to birth a new season, to birth a new covenant, to birth a shift, to birth a new move of the Spirit of God, to birth the expression of truth on the earth. Jesus was the fullness of the expression of truth. To birth righteousness on earth. John the Baptist, whose message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Elizabeth birthed repentance on earth. Four people turned the world upside down because they became wombs, birthing canals. Because everything that will come out of the Spirit, everything that will come out of heaven, every blessing, every prophecy, every vision that God has given you, every dream that God has inspired in you, must come, go through a birthing process to come from the realms of the Spirit to land on earth. And God said to me, my people do not know how to land the stuff. And I've been teaching them throughout the pages of the Bible that just as a woman is inseminated and conceives and carries a pregnancy for 9 months, so also my people must conceive of my word, of my seed, my sperm, the sperm of my word, the rhema of the Logos. And they must carry and nurture that Logos. And they must work it out for 9 months in the wombs of their spirits until it's time and ripe and it has come to a time of fruition. And then they must go through travail to give birth to it, to its manifestation on earth. Everything you're going to get from heaven, everything that will come out of the realms of the spirit must go through a birthing process. And so God started teaching to me and said, look at the seed. In Genesis, I'm spent all my scriptures talking about seed, sowing seed, reproducing after their own kind. Just as a seed goes through that cycle, the cycle where it falls into the ground, it has to be fertilized, it has to be watered, and then it germinates. So also, the same process to bring to manifestation the prophecies I have given to my people, to bring to manifestation the things I have spoken for my people. And the reason why my people are not walking the fullness of the blessing is because they don't know how to birth stuff out of the realms of the spirit onto earth. And I've even taught them, anytime you take a seed of money and you're planting it in the kingdom, the seed is going through the same process. And as you take that seed and you plant it, you're saying, as I'm planting this seed, also let me be impregnated with the seed rhema of God so that I can also birth it as I'm sowing this seed. So when you sow seed and then bring an offering into the kingdom and you don't understand what you're doing, then you miss your whole purpose and abort the purpose of that seed. Because even Jesus was a precious seed. So Psalm 126, which is a prophetic psalm about Jesus being the first fruit expression of the resurrection, he carried precious seed and sowed in tears because he would doubtless come again with sheaves with him, which is a picture of the resurrection. And that is also a psalm of the first fruit. Jesus was the first fruit amongst the dead. And so just as you're planting seed, God is showing you that you also have to become a womb that he will plant his seed in you. And if you don't respect the offering that you give to God, how can God plant you, inseminate you with his seed? Because God's seed is always precious. His rhema is always precious. So if you can't sow precious seed, you're telling God that he cannot give you his precious seed to carry and birth on earth. When you're giving an offering, that's the most dangerous time in the kingdom. Can I go a little bit deeper? Everything I said must go through a birthing process to come on earth. And everything that God will do will begin as a seed. He will give you a rhema seed, a sperm of his word, a rhema of the Logos. And you have to learn how to receive. The Bible says, and Mary received it. She said, be it unto me according to the word. According to your word. She took in the seed. She received the seed. And she was saying, whatever I have to go through to bring about the manifestation of this seed, I'm ready to go through it. Can I go a little bit deeper? God help me. Everything that comes into the visible realm is made out of something in the invisible realm that must go through the birthing process. Adam was a womb. Adam was not a male. He was a species, the model called mankind, that contained the male and the female characteristics of God. He was a womb that was meant to replenish the earth with the glory of God, taken from the spirit and birthed back into the earth. So touch the man next to you and say, you are also a womb. And touch the woman next to you and say, you're a double womb. Everything that comes out of heaven must go through a womb to be birthed on earth. Time is a womb. I don't have time to go into that, but time is a womb. Because God makes all things beautiful in what? That's wrong. In the Hebrew, it reads, in its own time. And that's why many of you, I'm going to help many of you today. Many of you have been sitting down, being so spiritual, saying, I've been waiting on God's time. And so you're waiting and waiting, and that becomes an excuse for inactivity. Because you say, I'm waiting on God, but I have news for you. God said, I should tell you, He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. Why? He makes all things beautiful in its own time. Everything that God has created has been programmed with its time. So a woman's gestation period is 9 months. That's the program. For a chick in the belly of a hen, it's 21 days. Everything has been programmed with its own time. This computer, the fan motor that keeps it cool, has a lifespan. Everything has been programmed in its own time. You need to discern the time program of a thing to birth it. Can I go a little bit deeper? Mary said, be it unto me according to my word. She made herself available for the kingdom of heaven to push out its agenda here on earth. That holy thing will be born, will be called the Son of God. It wasn't about giving birth to a man. It was about giving birth to a move. She birthed the move of God on the earth. Jesus was the fullness of the expression of truth. She birthed the fullness of the expression of truth on the earth. She stood up and he said, there must be truth because we're in a time of deception. God is looking for people who will stand for truth and birth truth. Because not everything we see is true. And things may be true, but they may not be truth. Because true things can come from darkness. Acts chapter 16, there was a woman that was prophesying true things. These are sons of the Most High God, and they're proclaiming to you the way of salvation. It was true, but it was not truth, because it was born out of a spirit of divination and not out of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth, she birthed John the Baptist, whose message was, repent, the kingdom of God, heaven is at hand. How can you reproduce what you haven't conceived? So if John the Baptist's message is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is on hand, then the mother interceded and birthed repentance on earth to make way for the fullness of the expression of truth to come, because truth cannot land unless repentance has first landed. Touch your neighbor and say, what are you birthing for God? Are you listening to me? And God showed me so many people are walking in unfulfilled prophecies that are overdue. Unfulfilled dreams that are overdue. Because they don't know how to reach in the realms of the spirit and to birth. And how do we know that this is the time, Pastor wrote to me, that God wants us to begin to birth stuff? I explained to the first service the Hebraic calendar and the Jewish calendar. Let me come from another perspective. I went on to YouTube. Are you ready? Are you ready? 5 minutes is too long. Okay. Is it ready to go? Okay. I went on and I was doing some research. And I found out that the human gestation period, the time a baby takes to be of a womb to for from conception to birthing, exactly coincides with the 7 feasts of the Lord in the Old Testament. Understand that, remember, that there were 7 feasts that Israel had to observe, which were prophetic patterns and prophecies of things that will happen in our time. Touch your neighbor and say, you better start reading the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament has the types and shadows of the principles of the New Testament. You can read that you'll never understand the New Testament if you don't understand the Old. Because it has the detail. The New Testament has the principle. So the 7 feasts of the Lord. Remember what the 7 feasts of the Lord are. Passover. Feast of Unleavened Bread, First Feast of First Fruits, all the way to the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the last feast, which represents the millennial rule. Now understand something. Understand something. That the angel said to Mary, look at me, don't look at the screen yet. The angel said to Mary, and the power of the Most High will do what? Will overshadow you. Well, that word overshadow means episkiazo, which means God will form a tent over you. Just like when I, in the dark, I shine a torchlight down on Pastor Shola's head. What will it form? It will, the shadow will look like a tent. So when God was saying that the power of the Most High will come upon you and the Holy Ghost will overshadow you, he was saying that he will form a tent around you, a habitation around you, because God inhabits the praises of his people. He forms a habitation. A tent is a habitation. So in the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews, which the Feast of Tabernacles is just about to happen. That last year, we celebrated Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. Tuesday is the Day of Atonement. After the Day of Atonement, they go into the Feast of Tabernacles. In the Feast of Tabernacles, God said the children of Israel should dwell in what? They should dwell in tents for 7 days. The reason why they were dwelling in tents was to symbolize prophetically the overshadowing of God coming upon them as a tent, so that in that time, as the power of God forms a tent and a habitation around them, he could inseminate them with seed that they will carry and birth in the next year. That was what Passover was about. Passover was about the Holy Spirit, to inseminate them with the seed that they will carry into the wilderness. That was what the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness was about, that he may build the place where God may inhabit in the midst of his people. So that when God is cohabiting with you, he can begin to inseminate you with seeds of revelation for your purpose. Are you with me? Can I go a little bit deeper? Okay, let's go to the slide. Go to the beginning, that's not it. Okay. On the 14th day, a woman goes into ovulation on the 14th day after her menses. Is that correct? At that point in time, the 14th day exactly coincides with the Feast of Passover, because Passover was celebrated what? On the 14th day of the first month. Yes. And when they celebrated Passover, which is a type and a prophetic signification of the communion you do every day, every Sunday, that you don't understand what you're doing. Yes, at Passover, because of the blood, God was overshadowed them. Because when we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, are you listening to me? So the enemy could not touch them. But as they were abiding under the shadow of the Almighty at Passover, God was now incubating and inseminating them with seed. So when the Jewish man always celebrated Passover, they would have all sorts of different foods on the table. One of them was bitter herbs to as a memorial of all the years of bitterness, because God always turns your bitter waters into sweet waters. If you have no bitter waters, then there's nothing that God can use to turn around in your life. Are you listening to me? Because the glory must always be, and the testimony must always be, of God doing something. So God uses the negative to work the positive. You never know God as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer, if you haven't had a sickness. So to know him as Jehovah Rapha, you must go through some sickness. To know him as Jehovah Jireh, you must be broke. Are you listening to me? So touch your neighbor and say, don't despise what you're going through, number one. God's about to use it to glorify his name. One of the things that they had on the meal, the communion meal at Passover, was an egg. which symbolizes the woman's ovary that is getting ready to be fertilized as God passes over. Yes? Now that egg, if it is not fertilized within 24 hours, it passes out of the woman's body. God gave the children of Israel 24 hours to pack out and leave Egypt. Otherwise, the opportunity, the window would close. So sometimes when God brings you opportunities, you need to be sensitive in the spirit. Because if you miss that opportunity, you miss that window, you have to wait for another cycle. When the children of Israel missed this opportunity to go into the wilderness, they had to go through a 40-year cycle. And some of you are too old to go through another 40-year cycle. Are you listening to me? The egg must be fertilized in 24 hours, otherwise it will pass on. This is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which happens on the day after Passover. And what was the Feast of Unleavened Bread? They could not eat anything with leaven because leaven is a type of sin. Yes, I got to move on. Then within 2 to 6 days, the fertilized egg travels down the tube and attaches itself to the woman's womb, the wall of the womb, and develops what? Root. Just like a seed that you plant in the ground begins to die and develop what? Roots. Are you listening to me? And that is the Feast of what? First fruit, which is celebrated for 2 to 6 days, which is a symbol of a seed falling to the ground and die. And what do we Yoruba celebrate as first fruit? When you get a job, the first salary, you take it to the head of your family to give to him. And where do we get it from? From this. Because the first governs the rest. In the Bible, a law of hermeneutics, you have what you call the law of first mention. The first mention of a subject in the book of Genesis sets the pattern and the principle that governs the interpretation of every other scripture that relates to that subject. So in other words, first fruit means the first governs the rest. So when you first fruit God, you're saying just as this first fruit is, so the rest of my harvest is going to be. And then because Jesus is a picture of the first fruit, you're saying as I sow this first fruit, no matter what the enemy does between seed time and harvest time, I will not faint, there shall be a resurrection and a harvest of my seed. That's why you must always first fruit God. Many of you have, oh God, don't help me. Many of you have come into Milton Keynes trying to do work and do business. And all the devils and the witches and the wizards in Milton Keynes, because Milton Keynes was purposely built as a witchcraft city, have covenanted all the lines of business that you are trying to do to the devil. And you're trying to do the business and you haven't broken the covenants they have made with the devil over that line of business. So the gates of the city are fighting you and vomiting you out because you don't know how to deal with the gates. Because every battle is won and lost at gates. I won't go into that. You see why you should have brought me? Next day, opportunity was lost. So we're on first fruit. So Psalm 126 about Jesus he who carries precious seed is about Jesus, a prophecy of David about Jesus being the first fruit. That if the first fruit be holy, then the whole rest will be holy. Now after this, after at 50 days, the embryo in the woman's womb begins to develop limbs, hands, legs, toes, and everything. And it was exactly at 50 days that the Jews celebrated Pentecost. Are you listening to me? 50 days. The feast of the Pentecost in the New Testament was exactly 50 days after the death of Christ. Are you listening to me? So at 50 days, the baby in the womb begins to develop hands and feet because the Holy Spirit comes upon you to breathe upon you to equip you for ministry. Because your hands and your feet are equipment. How beautiful are the feet of them that publish? Are you listening to me? Now let me go deeper. Next one. The embryo at 7 months, on the first day of the seventh month, the baby is developed. For the first time, it can hear and distinguish sounds. So at 7 months in the womb, the baby's ears are open and it begins to hear sounds. So if you're making the wrong sounds, if you're an angry woman or an angry father and you're making noise, the baby can hear and he develops a spirit of anger because you're saying, "Omo, come out to your house, girl," and all that kind of nonsense. But you see, as soon as the baby begins to develop at 7 months, the heirs, that start day it begins is exactly equivalent to what they call the day of trumpets, where Israel will blow the trumpets, will sound the shofar, which is the sound of God. And they will sound the shofar out of a goat's horn, which means be sacrificed. You yield and lay down your life as a living sacrifice, holy and presentable to God. That's why God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And whilst you were still in your mother's womb, I ordained you. The day Jeremiah was ordained was the day when the Feast of Trumpets. Can I go deeper? On the 10th day of the 7th month, the hemoglobin of the blood changes to a self-sustaining baby. So on that day, the baby stops feeding off the mother's blood because its own blood has been developed, and all it gets from the mother's blood is oxygen and so on and so forth. Now on that day perfectly coincides on the Day of Atonement. The Day of the Atonement was the day the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and would present the blood over the mercy seat, the blood of the sprinkle over the mercy seat for God to atone for the sins of Israel. And that same day, when the baby's blood is formed in your mother, in your wife's womb, that is the day, perfectly coincides with the Day of Atonement, because the life of a man is in the blood thereof. And where there is no atonement, there can be no remission of sins. So the baby becomes a living day on the Day of Atonement. On the 15th day of the 7th month, the lungs become fully developed. Then the baby would have had a very difficult, if the baby would have had a very difficult time. This is the Feast of what? Tabernacles. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the overshadowing, which is what happened with Mary, the Holy Ghost overshadowed her to inseminate her, to breathe into her the pneuma of God, the breath of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Birth takes place on the 10th day of the 9th month. 8 days after the birth, in the families, a son is what? Circumcised. Circumcision was always the 8th day. This perfectly coincides with the Feast of Hanukkah. Eight days after Hanukkah celebrated, 9 months and 10 days after. So you see, even now the Jews are getting ready to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a time of what? Birthing. Touch your neighbor and say, you're in a time of birthing. So when God designed and formed babies in the womb, it was exactly paralleling the feast that he had ordained for his people. So touch your neighbor and say, this is a serious subject. Are you with me? So the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And as he overshadowed Mary, and Mary conceives, she takes in seed. She's pregnant with a word from God. Touch your neighbor and say, it all started with a word. A word from God. And so you have to go, just as Mary carried this seed, every seed that God has planted, every word, you're going to have to go through the same process a woman goes through to give birth. And the first trimester, the woman begins to change. 8 things will happen to you. I'll give you the 8 things. The first one is that you must be willing to change. When a woman gets pregnant, the first thing that happens is that she starts to have morning sickness. In that morning sickness, she's always what? Coughing out some stuff and vomiting some stuff. Because God is trying to clean you out. Because that holy thing that God wants to push out of through you cannot cohabit with katakata. So that's why some of you are going through stuff in your life where you find that this is a season of deliverance. God is just breaking some things off me. Touch your neighbor and say, you've got to change. Your body is changing. The woman's body is changing. It's enlarging. It's going through an enlargement. The nose is getting bigger. The whole physiology is changing. Touch your neighbor and say, you've got to change. In other words, old things that you used to do, you can't do them anymore. And there's some people you used to run with, you can't run with them anymore. Because where you're going is different from where they are going. They're not pregnant, you are. They don't have a word, you have a word. Are you listening? Then the next thing that begins to change is your desires change. At that moment in time, you just can't figure it out, but you just have a desire to spend time with God. You have a desire to pray. You have a desire to just wake up at night. And the Holy Ghost is waking some of you up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And instead of waking up to pray, you go and take some Valium. And tell the doctor, I can't sleep at night. The reason why you can't sleep at night is because you're pregnant with a seed. And God wants you to fertilize the seed with prayer and fasting. So he'll wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And the worst thing you can do is wake up and pop some Valium and go back to sleep and miss your time of visitation. Are you listening to me? Your desires change. The food you used to eat, you don't like that food anymore. All of a sudden, you want to drink palm wine. Or you want to eat Chinese food. And your husband, you wake him up at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, I'm hungry. And I say, okay, I'll get you some food. I don't want that food in the kitchen. I want Chinese food. And you have to drive miles to find a Chinese restaurant that is open. Women, am I saying the truth? All of a sudden, your cravings change. You begin to crave for something different. And the old thing starts to make you sick. People that wear some old spice perfume, you run away from them. Because it's old spice. Because your taste buds are changing. Your desires are changing. And the thing about it is that you eat what your desire is dictating at that time because your life is changing. And the thing that people don't do is that when you receive a prophetic word, which is the seed, because the kingdom of God works with seed, anything God is going to do will never be fully born in your life. He will plant a seed in your life and you have to grow the seed. You have to grow the seed. You have to incubate the seed. You have to nourish the seed. You fertilize the seed. How do you fertilize the seed? Mary said, be it to me according to your word. What is the word saying about this prophecy? What is the word saying about this purpose that God is speaking to me about? What does the word say about this dream? And you nourish the prophetic seed or the dream seed or the vision seed with what the Bible says about it from Genesis to Revelation. And you take it in. The word will first go into your mind. But when you allow your mind to gestate over it, it becomes an imagination. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but imagine God to a casting down of what? What? Strongholds. Imaginations and every high thing. So because your mind thinks in pictures, but you've got to transfer the word from your mind to your spirit. How do you do that? By meditation on the word. So the Bible says, Mary pondered over these things. Are you listening to me? Because when it's transferred from your mind to your spirit, then the word can become flesh. It's now not a rationalization, it's a rhema. You must study that purpose, that thing God spoke to you about. Some of you had dreams when you were children. What did you do with the dream? You just thought, oh, that was a dream, and it was from God. And you haven't studied what the word of God says about that dream. You haven't researched on the dream and the content and the substance of the dream. You haven't done all the work that is needed. When you're going to start a business, don't you go and do research? You do a feasibility study. Touch your neighbor and say, do a feasibility study on the word you received. You're nourishing that thing with what the word, the Logos says. You're nourishing it. It's becoming flesh. The more you add word to it, the more you add substance to it, the more it grows. And then you're fertilizing it with water, with prayer, and with fasting. Are you listening to me? And it's growing. And as it's growing in you, you're growing. Because you're stretching. As a woman begins to change and her body begins to expand, she's stretching. Touch your neighbor and say, God is stretching you. At that moment in time, God begins to take you through stretching experiences. Ah, my God, afflictions will begin to come. Challenges will begin to come. Opposition will begin to come. Reproach will begin to come. Persecution will begin to come. Because touch your neighbor and say, he's stretching me. Because God cannot use anything that has not been stretched. Because everything must be about faith. So the challenges are stretching your faith. The challenges are stretching your tenacity. They're stretching your resilience. Stretching your endurance. Stretching your patience. Are you listening? The worst thing to be around is an impatient pregnant woman. But the women have to learn patience in that hour. Because they're carrying something. And they're in a place of discomfort. The belly is growing. They can't do what they used to do before. Touch your neighbor and say, you can't do what you used to do in your old season. It's a new season. She can't run around exercising and jumping around because she's got a belly. Even her walk has changed. That's how she's walking. Touch your neighbor and say, you've got to change. And so these things are happening to you and you don't understand what you're going through. But God is just stretching you, breaking some old things, bringing you some discomfort because God never wants people comfortable in his kingdom. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Because when you're comfortable, you'll never change, you'll never pray, you'll not fast, you'll just be eating. When there's fire on your backside, nobody has to tell you to run to church. That's why he touched your name and said, that's why he put some fire where you're sitting. And when do you notice when a pregnant woman wants to sit down, she doesn't sit down anyhow. This is what she does. Hello? Because at that time, you're cautious. You're carrying the seed of your destiny. That prophecy, that dream is your destiny. Are you listening to me? Everything is changing. Now you're being stretched. Oh, God, help me. And the worst thing about it is that people don't like to change. They like to stay in their comfort zones. As long as you stay in your comfort zone, God will have no choice but to bypass you. If you don't believe me, ask for four lepers. And the one praying, do you think they were not praying, God, send us food? We're hungry. We're dying. You're not a wicked God that will let us perish. Send us food. Did God send them food? No. When they knocked on the gate did not open. So they came to a conclusion. Why sit we here till we die? If we stay here, we'll die. So let's go into the camp of the enemy. As soon as they took a quality decision and they took a step of faith, God moved ahead of them. Touch your neighbor and say, God is waiting on you. So stop waiting on God. Are you listening to me? Second thing that happens is that you've got to develop an attitude of praise. You've got to develop an attitude of praise. Understand what was happening to Mary. The consequence and the price for carrying this seed of revelation was that, number one, how is she going to explain to the world that the Holy Ghost made her pregnant? And in rational understanding, are you saying, Mary, that the Holy Ghost had sex with you? So who's going to understand your word? And you're trying to explain your word of prophecy to people who have no inkling of where you're going and the direction that God is taking your life. Because it's about destiny. And you say, Pastor Shala, these days people don't understand me. They're not meant to understand you. Because what God has spoken to you defies human rationalization. And you're still trying to go to people to explain to them, Pastor, this is what's happening to me. They can't understand. Just go and find your Elizabeth. Touch your neighbor and say, go and find your Elizabeth. Can I say something very deep? When Elizabeth got pregnant, the Bible says she hid herself for 5 months. Why did she hide herself? Because as long as she was hiding, God could not move. Because the point of reference that the angel used to Mary is your cousin Elizabeth is now pregnant with seed and she is in her 6th month. That was the point of reference. Because if John is not birthed, Jesus cannot come. And Elizabeth was hiding. Number one, she was old in years. If, mommy, if you get pregnant now, will you be coming to church every Sunday? If you make the mistake, everybody will be looking at you and be saying, ah, how did this one happen? And even your husband will be doubting you. Because he's now well advanced in years. That thing is not functioning unless he used Viagra. So the tendency is you will hide yourself. But the minute you hide yourself, you have stopped the move of God, because God is looking for somebody who will be a first fruit expression or a sign of what he's about to do. Because before God moves, he will always set up signposts to say, yes, this is an example and a testimony of what I'm about to do on a bigger level. So as long as Elizabeth was hiding, she could not be the sign to the world that change has come. The only reason why Obama became president of America is because he resonated the sound of heaven, change. Even if it was unbeliever. You know, God will use an unbeliever and an unbeliever. If the unbeliever is ready to fulfill his purpose, he will use the unbeliever before the believer, because the believer is not ready. If you don't believe me, why did he anoint Cyrus? He used an unbeliever, Rahab, to open the gate of the promised land. He used the woman with a curse on her life. The Moabites were cursed. Ruth brought them into the lineage of Jesus Christ. He used the Bathsheba who committed adultery with David. David killed her husband, and yet he used her. Hello? So anybody who positions themselves and understands the purpose of God, whether you're an unbeliever, God will put you in the line. Because something happens to us believers when we get born again, we lose our common sense. Touch your neighbor and say, don't lose your common sense. God wants to anoint your common sense. He wants to put his super on your natural. And you become all too spiritual, you're of no heavenly use. So the presence of God is not in the church today. Sinners and witches should be passing the church and feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. And become under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and walk into church and give their lives. It's not happening. Touch your neighbor and say, you've got to keep an attitude of praise. So Mary understood what was going on. She was going to be rejected by her society because the death sentence was put on her. Pregnant woman, without marriage, you should be stoned to death. So the death sentence was upon her. Rejection, the whole society, her own people were going to reject her. Then her husband has a crisis on his hands. She's saying the Holy Ghost did this. How is that possible? Are you listening to me? So he's about to break the engagement. But because Mary was resolute, the Holy Ghost intervened and spoke to Joseph. But then what did they have to do? They had to move out of town. Joseph's carpentry business died. He couldn't continue his carpentry business. Is there anybody that's ready to pay a price to push through heaven's agenda? Elizabeth, that was called what? Barren. That was the label the world had put upon Elizabeth. Barren. And one of the reasons why she hid herself again was because the world had put a label on her. Barren. And now all of a sudden the barren is pregnant. It creates a controversy. Because we tend to see ourselves the way the world sees us, rather than seeing ourselves the way God sees us. I break your mindsets in the name of Jesus. You are not what people called you. You're what God said you are. Touch your neighbor and say, you're not what people called you. You are what God said you are. Your identity is who you are in Him, not in what people call you, not in what your father called you, not in what your friends called you. When I was in boarding school, they used to call me a lady away. I used to believe their own press. Thank God I have big ears so I can hear God more. It collects all the sound. Touch your neighbor and say, don't see yourself the way the world sees you. Your identity is not with the world. They called her barren. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm not barren. But these women were not going to God with a pity party. God, everybody's calling me barren. Everybody's calling me a husband adulteress. Stop praying your own agendas. When you start praying the kingdom agenda, God will automatically, when you birth for the kingdom, your own stuff is coming with it. Elizabeth, that was called barren, when she birthed John the Baptist, was anybody calling her barren anymore? No. Everybody was calling her a sign and a wonder. When Mary, after all the hell she went through, birthed Jesus, all of a sudden, she's blessed above all women. So once you birth the agenda, God takes care of your own personal business. So touch your neighbor and say, stop concentrating on your idolatrous prayers. Change your focus. And in all this, they were keeping an attitude of praise. So Philippians 4:8 says, what are you thinking about? Think on these things, the things that are honest, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are of good report, the things that are admirable. Because your life will always move in the direction of your thinking. As a man thinketh, so is he. So when you're pregnant with something, the only thing you can be thinking about is the direction of your prophecy. The Bible says, and Mary made haste in the direction of Elizabeth, because that was the direction of her prophecy. Elizabeth, your cousin, is also pregnant with child. Are you listening to me? Touch your neighbor and say, you've got to change direction. And when all hell is breaking loose, you've got to keep an attitude of praise. We glory in tribulations, but tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And the hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in my womb. Count it all joy. So when you're going through hell, you're still praising God, because you're carrying a holy thing. Next thing that you need to understand. So number two is keep an attitude of praise. Number three is you've got to leave the past behind. Touch your neighbor and say, leave the past behind. Have you ever seen somebody driving forward consistently and progressively, looking in their back, in their rearview mirror? No. So touch your neighbor and say, stop looking in your rearview mirror. Everybody has a story of woe. We all have stories of woe. But the man who knows what he's doing knows how to focus on the future. You've got to leave the past behind, because when your destiny is born, it overshadows your past. Have you seen a woman who has come to the time of birthing? She goes through a lot of pain. She's carried that baby for 9 months. She goes through some labor pains and contractions and everything. And at the time of the labor, she's crying. And she's saying, Makuo, huh? Are you listening to me? But the minute the baby is born, she forgets all the pain she's been through. And for the joy that was set before her. Oh God, are you listening to me? When you birth your miracle, you forget the past. That's what Joseph said, and God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Touch your neighbor and say, leave the past behind. It doesn't matter who divorced you, who betrayed you, who stole your money, who took your business from you. God is the reason why they took the business from you is because God is about to give you a new business. When God closes one door, he opens another door. So Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind, I press. Touch your neighbor and say, somebody, you've got to press. And then you've got to keep on pressing. You can't stay there. You can't live in the past and go forward. It's impossible. Lift up your hand and say, I divorce myself from the past. The fourth thing you've got to do is to focus. Jesus, for the joy that was set. Touch your neighbor and say, set yourself. I'm set on my future. I'm set on my prophecy. I'm set on my dream. I'm set on my destiny. I know it was God that spoke to me. Focus. You've got to focus. If there was ever a time the enemy is trying to distract us, it is now. And the enemy will make your business look like it's about to die, or that dream is about to die. Because after seed time, between seed time and harvest time, it's fainting. And if you do not faint, he said, you shall see, reap your harvest. So the devil will try to make you faint in between seed time and harvest time. Touch your neighbor and say, I refuse to faint. I'm set. I refuse to give up. I'm set. The devil will make you think that everything is falling apart. But thank God it's falling apart, because there's no other foundation that can be laid but that which is in Christ. So if you built your life on any other foundation, God has to destroy it, because you will not build on that foundation. Some of you are trying to build on the flesh, the products of your flesh, and God will not endorse the products of your flesh, because no sweat shall glory in the presence of the Lord. So the sooner you allow him to break that building down and lay his foundation and build according to his pattern, the sooner you come into your place of fulfillment. Focus. What does focus mean? Focus. Faith. Operating consistently until satisfied. Focus. Faith operating consistently until satisfied. The fifth thing that you do when you come to the time of birthing is you, according to Lamar's film, you know the Lamar, yes, they teach you how to breathe. Touch your neighbor and say, breathe. Because when the woman is in the labor room and she's going through her labor, the tendency is, if there is not a midwife who is there to pacify her, she begins to get hyper or so scared or something that she begins to push at the wrong times. Touch three people and say, you've got to breathe. God will always bring peace. You see, the peace of God doesn't mean that you won't have tumults around you. That's when God brings peace. When you're in a boat and the water is threatening to sink the boat, that's when he brings peace. So the peace of God doesn't mean that there will be no troubles, but it means that through all the troubles, he will keep you in perfect peace because your mind is focused on him. He will keep in steadfast his death whose minds are stayed upon him. Touch your neighbor and say, breathe. Are you listening to me? Peace always comes when there's all hell has broken loose around you. But he keeps you in peace. Because the reason why you are facing all the hell is because the enemy has identified that you're carrying something that if you birth that thing, it's going to do him damage. That's why the enemy is fighting you. The bigger your attacks, the greater the miracle you're about to birth. So everything that Satan is doing against you is an indication of what you're carrying that Satan is afraid of. And wherever he's attacking you is where you're blessed. Are you listening to me? Touch three people and say, breathe. Next thing that you got to do, number six, is you cannot be limited by what seems impossible. The impossibility about giving birth is like a bowling ball being passed through a straw. A big thing is going to go through a narrow place. When you look at the bigness of your stomach and the smallness of the space between your legs, the first thing you wonder is, how can such a big thing come out of such a small place? But that's what God does. He births us in small places. If you don't believe me, ask Jesus, who was born in a manger, in a stable. It's always about a big thing coming through a small place. If your dream is not bigger than you, then it's not from God. Everything that God is going to do will outlive you and must be huge, bigger than you, that it will look impossible. Because God is a God that specializes in the things that are impossible, making them possible. Touch three people and say, your impossibility is possible with God. So don't give up. Yes, I came to tell you, it was God speaking to you, because you're about to birth what seemed impossible. That's what birthing looks like when the woman is about to crown a baby with a big head. And if the woman has been eating eba, then the baby is hard. Are you listening to me?
pushing a ball through a straw. That's what it's like. But at the minute the baby's head crowns, all of a sudden dilation begins to take place. Because that's God. Understand prophetically that the body of Christ is in a narrow place. That's why all sorts of things are happening in the body. That's why all sorts of judgments are taking place on the leadership of the church. That's why all sorts of things are happening in the world. Because the kingdom is in a narrow place. Just like Balaam was in a narrow place. Touch your neighbor and say, you're in a narrow place. And in a narrow place, you don't understand it. That's why you cannot understand what you're going through in this season. Because God is not going to tell you the whole story. If he told you the whole story, you won't need him. So he takes you step by step. His rhema is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So he takes you step by step. Then when you can look back, you look back and see that he has lighted up the whole path. Are you listening to me? Touch your name and say, we're going step by step. We're walking this thing out step by step. We're working this thing out step by step. So it seems confusing. Some of us are confused. We shifted jobs. The world, God had to bring an economic issue to create a shifting. Some of us have changed jobs. Some of us are out of jobs because God is about to do a new thing. And some of you don't know what's going to happen about your tomorrow. But touch your neighbor and say, God is in control. In other words, I may be in a narrow place, but God is working it out. And as he's working it out, I'm walking it out, step by step. So I may not look like anything is happening now, but my God orders my footsteps and he directs my paths. Touch your neighbor and say, at this moment, you've got to trust God. The word God has said, God will do it. That he is faithful to confirm and perform the word as long as you are willing. Man, you're in the labor room. And one thing you've got to do, when the waters break, stuff is coming out. Are you listening to me? And when that baby's head has crowned, you are in a time of travail. Touch your neighbor and say, you've got to push. In other words, pray until something happens. And you've got to keep on pushing. At that moment, sometimes the pain could be so excruciating that you want to give up. And so many of us have come to a time where we feel like giving up. We're weary. We're tired. We've carried this thing for 9 months. We've faced discomfort for 9 months. Nobody understands us for the 9 months because our attitude and our temperament has been changing. Things have been making us irritated and frustrated. And we're still carrying this thing for 9 months. And now I'm on a birthing stool with my legs in stirrups. And I am in so much pain. Nobody understands the pain. And then Windlife is just saying push. And say, how can I push when I'm in pain? Touch your neighbor and say, you gotta push. Your pain is a sign that there's something about to crown in your life. Touch three people and say, push. Something is about to happen. But the issue is, you got to push according to the timing of the midwife, because travail was never instigated by you. It was instigated by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God knows the fullness of time for this thing has come. So you got to push in sync with the Holy Spirit. That's why he's the midwife. Just like the Hebrew women were lively at childbirth. So the midwives knew how to deliver the babies. Boom, boom, rapid succession. Touch your neighbor and say, you need a midwife. Because she tells you when to push. Touch three people and say, you've got to push. The reason why you've been going through all this pain, the reason why you've been going through all this discomfort, the reason why you've been going through all this agony is because something is about to birth out of you. And that's the reason for your pain. Travail is part of the process. Touch people and say, travail is part of the process. In fact, nothing can be birthed without travail. So consequently, the whole earth is groaning and travailing to birth the manifestation of the sons of God. And so, in Isaiah 37, he said that this is a day of trouble and distress. So it is always in trouble and distress that there's a birthing. And so the trouble and the distress was a time, was an indication that it was time to birth. But they didn't know, they didn't understand the timing. So they did not have the strength to push. May God give you strength to push in this hour. I release the spirit of travail upon you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you will push, because there are babies in you. There are unfulfilled prophecies that must be born that have come to their due season. There are unfulfilled dreams that have come to their due season. There are things that you prayed about 10 years ago that God answered, but because you didn't know how to push, those things are still stuck. But I decree over this house, there shall be no stillbirth. I decree over this house, there shall be no miscarriage in the name of the Lord Jesus. Touch your neighbor and say, number 8, you have to, number 7, you gotta push. If you give up now, you're giving up on your destiny. Can you imagine? You've come this far. You've carried this baby for 9 months. You've come this far. And you're going to give up at this last moment? Touch your neighbor and say, I'm not giving up. Never say die. And never say never either. The way forward is quicker than the way back. We've come this far. We've endured hardships as good soldiers. We've gone through tribulations. We've passed through the Red Seas. We've walked through the deserts. We've had to eat manna in the deserts for all these years. And now you want to say you want to go back to Egypt? Touch your neighbor and say, you lie bad. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm going to push. If there's anything that I'm going to do, I must birth this baby. I've come this far, and I haven't come this far to give up, and I'm not turning back. Touch 3 people and say, get ready to push, because your baby is about to come. You've got to push this thing out. You've got to make up your mind, I'm going all the way. It's do or die. That's what Esther said. There's a birthing for the children of God. God's about to change something in Israel. He's about to crown something in Israel. And so if I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. But I'm going to birth this new thing by seeing the king. And the Bible says she went into travail of fasting. The fast she did is called a travail. When she heard that Mordecai had stripped his garments and hung at the gate. What's the gate? The gate is a place where things come out. May God open the gates of your womb in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because your womb is the gateway into the world, gateway into life, gateway into destiny. Are you listening to me? Touch 3 people and say, you've got to push. Travail is part of the process. And if you don't travail, you abort your prophecy. You abort your destiny. That thing that God is trying to push out of you. Everything is about travail. Paul said, my little children who have begotten you, travailed over you, who I travail over. The earth is travailing and groaning. It's a sin for the earth to be in travail and you not be in travail. If the earth knows its time has come, then how come we, the creation, who will judge creation, don't know that our time has come to push? Are you listening to me? And there's this thing about travail. You see, God has taken me into encounters and levels with him where I understand that the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that the Spirit himself helpeth our infirmities. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but with groanings. Groanings that cannot, it's impossible for them. It's impossible for them. Romans, was it 8:28? 26. With groanings that cannot. So in this place, it is impossible for tongues to be spoken. Tongues are vocal utterances out of the mouth. Because the miracle is not taking place in the mouth now. It's taking place in the womb. So the prayer is not coming from here anymore. It's not coming, it's coming from the womb of your spirit. So God said, out of your wombs shall flow rivers of living water. That word womb means matrix. And matrix means womb. Are you listening to me? And they come to a level. There's a level in Christ, in prayer, where Shakalada Basi Kalaba is not there anymore. It cannot come because now it's coming from here. And cries and groanings. Even the earth is groaning. And so the Bible says, and they were in travail of soul. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was in travail of soul. He couldn't pray. He was groaning and agonizing. That word travail means to dance and to writhe and to writhe and to writhe and to writhe and to agonize and to groan, which is a level of prayer where you encounter God. And when I've been in those places, it was as if I was heaving. At that moment, even God was doing deliverance on me. Touch your neighbor and say, he's trying to deliver you of that baby. By the time I finished, a bucket of snot was on the floor from my nose. Are you listening to me? And I was in groaning, I was traveling, and I could feel the presence of God all over me. Pushing me, took me into a place. And it's happened to me a few times now, into a place. And I knew that nothing on earth could describe the groans or the mutterings. Tongues could not describe it. Because this place is higher than the place of tongues. This is a place where there you cannot have utterance. It's a place of travail. And until you get there, your miracle, your breakthrough, your prophecy, your dream, your vision cannot be birthed. Stand to your feet.